This is the fourth instalment of a five-part interview with Cory Doctorow, conducted by Rachel Baker and Charles Beckett of Arts Council England. Cory shares his thoughts on mainstream cultural production.
Within the Arts Council, there is lots of kind of internal discourse about how we invest in our arts organisations, and I think that there people have talked about colleagues of mine within the Arts Council talked about recasting the RFO, the regularly funded organisation, as a social enterprise rather than, I mean, a lot of them are charities, a lot of them are constituted in such a way that that means that they can't really, they're not as flexible as they could be in a traditional environment. But a question I also wanted to ask you was that the argument that bodies like Federation Against Copyright Theft put forward are things like, you know, in order to be able to produce, you know, large-scale quality cultural products like film or TV series like The Wire that everybody wants to see, high production values, there has to be some kind of economic structure that supports that. And if you read the Digital Britain report, they seem to think that the majority, the mainstream in the cultural industries, want to protect the existing copyright regimes as far as they possibly can in order to be able to produce high quality, high production value cultural content where they can. What's your response to those kinds of
arguments? Well, I think calling them the mainstream is the first problem, because the mainstream of cultural production and consumption in Britain is not $300 million movies. Most of us have never made a $300 million movie, but many of us have made a little clip on YouTube. And the way that they have framed this, so YouTube being a very good example, where FACT and its funders, which are the big studios, have argued that YouTube needs to vet all the material that goes on YouTube for copyright infringement before it goes live. That's 14 hours of video every minute. There aren't enough lawyer hours remaining between now and the heat death of the universe to vet every video that goes on YouTube before it goes live. So the only way that they could do that is if they essentially shut YouTube down and made it into something that looked more like, say, Channel 4, where some people would pitch things to them, some things would be commissioned, but the era in which you make 3 minutes of video and 10 seconds later it's on YouTube would be over. So they have framed this in such a way that they've said to Lord Carter, here's a gun and you need to shoot one thing in the head, the film industry or the internet. If that's the decision that we need to make, then I say we shoot them in the head. Now, I don't think we need to make that decision. I think historically the motion picture studios have said some variation on this theme. And in fact, the entertainment industry has said some variation on this theme since at least 1898 with the invention of the piano roll. So I've got one of those there. The piano roll, the composers said that if the piano roll continued, that there would never be any more music produced. They said, John Philip Sousa said, if these infernal talking machines are allowed to continue, we will lose our voice boxes as we lost our tails when we came down out of the trees. And the Edison Trust won the right to continue making phonograms. So now we have the spiritual descendants of those people saying that we must get rid of the thing that is the successor to the phonogram. The broadcasters came along and started putting records on, and the Edison Trust boycotted the Marconi Trust and wouldn't let them put any music on the radio, and said, if the radio is allowed to continue, we will all lose our livelihoods. While the broadcasters, represented by the Marconi Trust, went to Congress and they said, if you want to protect innovation, be sure that you first protect, or no, if you want to protect musicians, make sure that you first protect innovation. So the position of broadcasters 100 years ago, or 90 years ago, was that you should stop, shouldn't listen to artists, you should listen to inventors. Today, the broadcasters are saying just the opposite, right? Well, the broadcasters were doing fine until the cable operators came along and started nicking their signals and putting it on cable, and they said, we can't afford to allow this to happen, and if it does, we'll all be out of business. And then the remote came along, the tele remote came along, and the studios and the broadcasters and the cable operators all said that the remote was going to destroy all of their businesses because people could change away during the commercial. And then along came the VCR, And the cable operators, the motion picture studios, and the broadcasters all sued because they said the VCR was going to destroy them. Jack Valenti said that the VCR is to the American film industry as the Boston Strangler is to a woman home alone. And they promised that if VCRs were allowed to promulgate, it would be the end of people making movies forever. And now the companies that made the VCR, like Sony, are part of the little cartel, and they're coming along and they're saying, well, if the internet is allowed to continue in its current form, again, we'll lose artistic creation as we know it. I just don't believe it, right? I mean, maybe it's true, and if it's true, well, then I choose the internet, but I don't think it's true. I mean, I've heard that story too many times to believe it. And in fact, I had a phoner with Fact last week because I was working on a column for The Guardian's coming out next week. And one of the things the guy said was, well, you know, of course, that historically the motion picture industry has been very receptive to technology. And I said, which motion picture industry are you talking about? The one that tried to get rid of the TV remote? I mean, the one that's been drag kicking and screaming into every single technological revolution from sound to color to broadcast. I don't know what movie companies you're thinking of, but it's not the ones I'm thinking of. I mean, the motion picture industry only exists in its current form because the Fox brothers stole Edison's patents and went to Hollywood to make movies 3,000 miles from his patent enforcers so that they could do them, you know, in they could infringe in peace without being attacked. You know, the studios have got a very strange relationship with copyright, and what they fundamentally say is whatever it is we're doing today is the only way that we can do it, and you can't allow circumstances to change us.
Well, I mean, given that a lot of governments around the world are having or feel they have to intervene and build some regulatory infrastructure, and are being heavily lobbied by the creative industries or the film industry, music industry. Can you think of any governments that are being more radical in their vision?
Well, I guess the one government that I think is really progressive on this is Brazil. I think that overall, on a global scale, you see this stuff being pushed through international trade bodies and agreements, from ACTA, the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, to the TRIPS and the WTO and WIPO treaties and so on, make it really hard for countries to act autonomously on this.